Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I didn't see the Cardinals getting a hit in the 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th innings. Bill Shanks.
Hello.
Bill, you got to face the music, man.
Who is this?
This is 960 The Ref, Logan and Dave, The Morning Show, which is also brought to you by St. Mary's Medical Group. Bill,
oh, yeah.
Have you talked? Oh, yeah. Well, we got Bill on the phone.
I just said the Braves didn't give up a hit after the fourth inning. What happened?
Yeah.
They retired the final 16 batters to get 17 outs.
My next Bill Shanks promo. I've already got it.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't there for those last 17 outs, David, so I wouldn't be able to tell you what the hell happened.
Well, look, I know you've got your show this afternoon, and you got a lot to talk about. I don't even know. I mean, like, where do you even begin? I mean, honestly, where do you want to begin?
Well, believe it or not, I just rewatched the first inning. I'm a masochist.
What?
I'll be, cutting myself later.
Wow. You're not joking. You seriously just rewatched the first inning.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. I wanted to be in hell for 26 minutes, so I even timed it to see what it was.
I say 44 pitches.
I went through every at bat, and I just wanted to kind of watch how it unfolded again, because I certainly didn't know what I was watching in person, and it was. There's no other word but shocking. I mean, there's literally no other word but a shocking turn of events, a shocking half hour, the worst 26 minutes in Braves history. And it was something that Snicker said after the game, we planned for a lot of scenarios. We did not plan for that. And how can you? How can you even think worst case scenario, something like that's going to happen? Worst case scenario, 4-run scoring, not 10.
Yeah. So you shocking, obviously, that's stating the obvious. But what you just said, the worst, 26 minutes in Braves history, I was going to ask you. You kind of segued into that. Like, should Braves fans not be numb to this? Or is yesterday certainly, and you've already answered it, but it's an outlier. This is as bad as it gets.
No, it's as bad as it gets. But, when I was driving home last night, I was with my two guys on my show, and we were like, it's a numbing effect, but we're so used to it. It's not. When you have a situation where you've been through this before, you're not immune to it because it still hurts, but it's just a different feeling. But how it unfolded last night, it was shocking. I mean, there's no other word to use. There's no other word to use besides shocking. It's just what it was, and it doesn't make it any easier, but it's almost comical in a way that we sit here in October and we've been through this for two decades now, and it's like we're being paid back for what we lived through in the 90s.
Well, Bill, so the series got off to a bad start, and there was some divisiveness. I don't know how much it was with the team, but there were some guys in the Ronald Acuna thing, but there was more blame to go around than just him on game one. And then, you got the two wins, and then things just kind of spiral out of control yesterday. And it seemed like it started maybe even in game four when the Braves are rolling. They took the lead, and then, again, there's so many things to kind of pick apart here.
Yeah.
Dan, I know you're a Snit fan, and I'm fine with him too, but how do you think – what kind of series do you think he had?
Well, I mean, look. I think let me say a disclaimer first before we get into some of the specifics. I think that any manager whose team does not win the World Series is going to go through it, right? Dodger fans are probably giving Dave Roberts holy hell this morning because they had a 106-win team that lost in the first round,
and had their best pitcher out there in the eighth inning, and they still lost. There are some things, obviously, that you wonder about with what Snit did. I think we do need to keep in mind that not every decision is made exclusively with a manager these days. I'm not taking you off the hook for anything, but I'm just saying that not every decision is made solely on the shoulders of the manager. The front office is involved in that as well. I think first and foremost with that, when I think of that comment, is in the eighth or ninth inning on Monday when Ron Acuna went off the inning with a double, we were all hoping he would fund him over to Ozzie Albies would fund him over to third. I think Brian Snicker's heard on a regular basis from people in the analytics department of the Atlanta Braves over the last couple of years, don't bunt. Now, Brian Snicker's an old-style guy, old-school guy. I think we know what he would normally do, but I think it's just not that they called him up on Monday morning and said, look, now, if Acuna gets on second base and Ozzie comes up, don't bunt. Not that they did that. I just think it's been so ingrained in him about how bunts are wasted outs. Don't do it. And that's why it wasn't done. And, you know, I know Ozzie was catching hell for the plate approach he used in that at bat to not get Acuna over to third on his own volition. But sure, there are things that you can look at with Snit and say, well, why was this done? Why did this happen? You know, I think the most critical part of this series, David, was when Chris Martin got hurt. And I'll tell you why. Number one, Snit said after that game one that they had it all laid out for Max Fried to pitch the seventh inning, Chris Martin to come in and pitch the eighth inning, Mark Melanson to pitch the ninth inning. They liked the matchups with those pitchers against the batters who were going to be coming up in those innings. And when he took Fried out, and Fried obviously for that one inning was all outstanding, when he took Fried out, Martin came out of the bullpen and he got hurt, and he had to bring in Luke Jackson. Second daggone pitch that he made, Paul Goldschmidt hit a ball that is still going, right? And so that made it 3-2. And so it totally changed the scope of things. Then, because of the Martin injury, Max Fried had to be brought back and put in more of a relief role to be used in game two as he was. And then it basically took him out of being able to go for game four. Now, you had a 17-game winner who made 31 starts, and you could not start him because you had to deal with him in the bullpen. I think the Chris Martin injury was a big part of kind of what upset the apple cart. People can say, well, you know, why didn't you have Soroka pitch two games? And that's a legitimate question. But I think the analytical department, again, was involved in that and discussing the fact that Soroka's ERA, my dog's upset too, as you can imagine, the ERA on the road for Soroka was blatantly different. It wasn't SunTrust Park. Let's do that. And they thought, obviously, they had paid all that money to Keuchel. He's the one. And so, but sure, there are things we can criticize and break down on Snit that you can say, well, why did he do this? There's a reason for everything. And you know, but he was going to catch. Look, here's the thing. My biggest problem, I think, with what he did is in game four, he took out Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Mike Tomlin. Josh Tomlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was going to mention that.
He took out Tomlin and brought in Shane Green to face Goldschmidt and Mizuna. Now, Tomlin was doing great. He looked good. We were, four or five outs away from winning the whole series. Why did he have to bring in another right-handed reliever to face the two big hitters? And I think, I haven't asked him, I don't know if he was asked, so I didn't hear him be asked about this, but I think it was a fact of, all right, Tomlin's doing fine, but I want one of my best relievers to come in and get these best hitters for St. Louis. And it didn't work, obviously. But you know what, David? If he'd have left Tomlin in and had Shane Green warming up and the same thing had happened, what would people have said the next day? Why in the hell didn't you bring in Shane Green? So, I mean, you know, if they didn't win the series, and therefore Brian Snicker's moves, every one of them are going to be looked at and scrutinized, and rightfully so.
All right, so on to other things I wanted to ask you. Freddie had a horrible series, and you hate that. He's obviously fighting something with the bone spurs. I get that. but did you feel like the Braves were better with him hitting third, or should they have dropped him in the order? Because I just don't feel like the Braves can come out and say, yeah, Freddie was hurt. So, but yeah. If that's the case, then, you know, then why are you batting him that prominently in the order? And the game four he had was, hopefully he will never have another game like that, because it was a disaster. But what are your thoughts on Freddie's performance?
Well, it was a disaster. The whole series was a disaster. The error, that was one of the reasons I was looking. I was looking at the first inning, because when I got home last night, David, I watched the post-game interviews, and Freddie, I'm telling you, he was really hard on himself now. I mean, it was he's having a bad morning, okay? He's wearing this a lot, and I understand, because he had a horrible series, as we said. But I'm like, man, he is single-handedly taking the blame for this series loss, because he knows what happened in St. Louis on Monday, right? I mean, he knows that he had the opportunity, even with a daggum fly ball, to get a runner in, to give an insurance run, to make it a two-run game. Two-run game on Monday is a totally different thing. Cardinals probably thought, we get a runner on second base with the hitters we've got and how they're doing in this series, we got a chance to tie the game. And that's what happened. So I wanted to watch again to see why Freddie was so hard on himself about last night. And, I mean, there's no doubt the error was a crucial play. It was, and we're just so used to him making every play that to see that happen, and I don't think it would have been a double play, but look, it would have been two outs, and there would not have been the bases loaded, right? So, I mean, it was a big deal. He had a horrible series. As far as dropping him down the lineup, I mean, I just don't think, and again, this is going to sound like I'm taking up for Smith, managers aren't going to change the lineup very much. I mean, he changed it with Duvall yesterday, but, you know, Freddie Freeman's the third hitter, and Donaldson is the fourth hitter, and, you know, people wondering, why didn't he put up Dansby in the batting order a little bit, and it's like, well, you know, I probably would have put McCann down low, because I knew this was McCann's swan song and he was barely hanging on. But I think that righty lefty stuff came into play a little bit there, and Dansby is being effective as the number eight hitter. And you know, when that lineup was doing so well in June, it was long all the way to the eighth hitter. But I think Freddie is hurt, and you know. He again denied it last night after the game when he was just upset, obviously. He had the interview that was not very good. I mean, he said one word answer when he was asked if the elbow had anything to do with it, and he again said none whatsoever. And I think he just said none. I don't think he said whatsoever. So he was hurt. We know he was hurt. You know, you can't come out and say it even during the series, well, I'm hurt, I'm trying to make it survive, and my elbow hurts like crap. I mean, you can't say that, but three, four, and five can't hit 167 in a series and expect to win.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Their guys were guys, and the Braves guys, well, Acuna and Albies, but the Braves guys in the middle of the order weren't, and that was one of the big differences. Talking with Bill Shanks, all right, speaking of Acuna, do you think the stuff about the other players saying stuff about him in the first game, was there any divisiveness, or do you think that's being completely overplayed? And what is this stuff with the Cardinals yesterday still throwing at him is what it looked like? And then the stuff that Schilt, I got to watch how I say his name, thank you, Randy Arozarena. You've probably played your last game for the Cardinals, but that video that got out of what Schilt said to the team afterwards, and he said something about, hey, they started it, we finished it. What are your thoughts on all of that? Because it's centered around Acuna.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, David, the lack of hustle, obviously, is you know, I was saying yesterday before the game, everything that's happened in the first four games, all the bad that we are talking about and griping about that has kept Atlanta from being already looking forward to round two, could be wiped away with a win. And obviously, since they lost, especially the way they lost, we have to examine it. And I don't think there's any doubt of what happened in game one with Acuna, this lack of hustle, is a problem. I mean, it is a problem. And you have to balance someone who is so great, because he's so talented and he's unbelievably good against things that just bother you to the core, like not hustling, and how that could have made a difference on Thursday. And you know, the sidestepping stuff at third base, I mean, I understand the pitches. I'd get pissed if I was a pitcher and saw that stuff going on and him trying to showboat. Just hit the ball, run the bases, run normally. Don't do something stupid to draw attention to yourself or to try to make people think you're better than you are. We already know you're that good. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say about Acuña other than we're going to have to let this guy grow up. Because he's not. He's not grown up. You know, he's a kid. And he's 21 years old, whatever he is. And yeah, he should be more mature, but he's not. He's obviously not mature. And it does cost the team in the way the opponent approaches you if you act like that. There is a fine line between having the energy and love for the game and passion for what he does and has and being a jerk and coming off as being someone who the team wants to hit when they're up by 12 runs, you know? And he's got to figure that out. And I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how many people are going to have to talk to him. There have already been people that have talked to him. Everybody in that clubhouse has talked to him to try to get him to stop and just to be the great player that he is and not to have to add this drama on top of it. And, again, so we simply have to wait for him to wake up and to mature. Andrew Jones got it the day that Bobby Cox pulled him out of the game. Right, there was no other instance that we know that nipped it in the bud. Obviously, it hasn't nipped it in the bud. Everything that's been done, and believe me, the August the 18th thing was obviously public, but stuff had happened before. Stuff was happening in AAA with this kid 2 years ago, to where again the game comes so easy to him. It's just hard for someone like that, I think, in general, to contain their ego. And you've got to learn how to do that as a professional and as an adult. And he's not there yet. And until he does, we're going to have more problems. I mean, it's probably not the last time we're going to have it unless over the offseason he has an epiphany and realizes I'm acting like an idiot in eighth grade and I need to stop. So, you know, I think opponents are going to have that. You know, I mean, I don't think the Marlins like him. I don't think the Nationals like him. And all the Cardinals don't like him. And he's got to stop that.
He's that guy that you know, if he's on your team, you like him. Then he's on the other team, you hate him. And maybe that's what he is.
All right, Bill, I wish we had more time with you. It's only so much we can do in a certain segment. But real quick, and we'll elaborate on all of this stuff next Thursday, I'm going to give you some quick names. Say yes or no, will they be back next year? I got about six of them. Then we'll elaborate on any one that you want to. But first, just a quick yes or no. Josh Donaldson.
No.
Nick Markakis.
Yes, because I think it's stupid to let someone, even that obviously struggled after the injury,
okay,
go with that salary. I think you know, until you don't know how long Pache and Waters are going to take, and so to bring him back for $6 million is I think you do that.
Okay, Julio Teheran.
No, I think not.
I've
changed my opinion on that because I just wonder if they'd rather reallocate those $12 million or I guess 11 after the buyout. $11 million resources somewhere else.
Okay, Tyler Flowers.
No, but I don't want for us to be shocked if he's brought back because it's hard enough to find one catcher, much less two.
Okay, and real quickly, here's a couple of wild cards. This is sort of out of the box, maybe some trade material. Mike Foltynewicz.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if he's traded. No, not at all. I mean, not at all.
Okay, what about Dansby Swanson?
Well, I mean, I've got a trade in my mind with Cleveland for Francisco Lindor and Corey Kluber, where Folty and Dansby are both gone.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think I don't think Dansby's untouchable. I think it'd have to be a Lindor type player to get Dansby away from the Braves, but I don't think Dansby's untouchable.
Fair enough. It's going to be a long offseason. I knew you're going to be here for all of that. And quickly, we haven't even touched on this. Brian McCann announces his retirement after the game last night. Not a surprise to anybody that has followed his career. He's at the end of that thing. But I mean, did it catch you off guard at all? And certainly wish nothing but the best for BMAC, who I have very fond memories of back in the mid-aughts.
Well, no, it didn't surprise me at all. I mean, like, he was hanging on by a thread, and he has been thinking about this. And I love Brian McCann. I mean, anybody who knows Brian McCann loves the guy. I interviewed him 3 days after he got drafted. He got drafted on a Tuesday. I interviewed him on a Saturday morning, the day after he graduated. He would admit, he and Frank Gore both there at Turner Field, and he would admit to me a couple years later, you know, when I did that interview that next morning after I graduated from high school, I wasn't in the best shape in the world. I'll just put it like that. He's always been great. He's what you want in a baseball player. Ronald Acuna could learn a lot from him. And I'm not talking about policing the game. I'm just talking about how you act as a professional. He had a great career. No one could have ever imagined that kid who was overshadowed by Jeffrey early on in his career. Jeff was getting the Sports Illustrated covers, the billboards, everything like that. McCann was the better player all along. And he had a tremendous career, and I hope there's some – I know he wants to go home and be with his kids, but he is a baseball rat. You know, David, he was born in Athens because Hallie was a coach on Weber's staff.
Yep.
And he's been around the game, so he's not going to go home and just wash the dishes and take care of the kids with Ashley. He's going to have to be in that game, and I hope they'll offer him a role that I know the manager wants him there, and I hope they'll offer him a role that will allow him an opportunity to both raise his family and enjoy his life and be in the game. And, you know, people have said it, that one day he would make a great major league manager, and if he decided to pursue that, there's no one smarter in the game of baseball than that young man.
Hey, well, 35. End on a quick high note, just a minute here. You're admitted one of the biggest Tennessee haters we know. Did you mutter a line or two of Rocky Top as those clocks hit zero the other night?
Well, I don't sing it as good as Brenda Lee or Take Tom, that's for sure. But
that's true.
We don't have any 29-point victories in Knoxville to call on as a reference point in our history book. So it was a very good win, and I guess I'll be at the game on Saturday.
Well, drive safely. We look forward to seeing you, and by Saturday maybe it'll only be hurting 99% instead of 100%. God, just hey, these Atlanta sports teams can figure out how to lose a game, can't they?
Well, you know, Dave, I tell you, after Money's game, I had to turn my phone off and get off social media because it was a little crazy. My show on Tuesday was a little crazy. I know today I'm going to take the crown roll in the studio, which I know is an FCC violation, but who cares? I mean, it's not going to be an easy show, and it's because, you know, I don't want to hear it about the Atlanta curse, but I know that you're right, everybody's right, and it's like we got to have one good thing happen to get over this crap. And there's no doubt that it's there. I know Dansby said when he was asked about it, there is no curse. Well, Dansby, you're too young to know because it's ridiculous of what's going on. It's crazy. And at some point, you know, this may be silly, but hopefully when the calendar turns and it's the Roaring Twenties on January 1st, and hopefully if Georgia has a game in January after that that's significant, the tide will turn, and this next decade will be better than what we've been through because it's just been a rough couple of years. There's no way to avoid it.
All right, Bill. Thanks so much, my man. You've been a good friend of the show for a long, long time. Unfortunately, we've had more conversations like this than we've had on the positive side about the Braves. Well, just wait till next year. Like, that's the worst phrase in sports. So I'm not going to throw that out there. I'll just say, let's just wait till next week when we can talk again.
I look forward to it.
All right, man. Dave. Thanks, Bill.
See you Saturday.
Appreciate it. Yep, see you Saturday. Just wait till next year, Logan.
Hey, man, I've been waiting for...
Maybe they'll give up 11 runs
see,
in the first inning of the game.
What was 95? That'd be 14. Yeah, I've been waiting for about... No, 20. 26 years. Am I saying that right?
Of
24 years.
Of
how long ago was 1995? I don't do math.
24 years.
I've been waiting for 24 years for next year.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it?
You know what Brandon Adams does, the Gator Hater Updater?
Yeah.
How many days since the Braves have won a World Series?
a lot.
Don't do it. I don't want you to. I don't want to know.
Oh, I'm not.
Okay, good. I'm not. You pulled your phone out as soon as I said that. I was like, wait a second.
We got to get into a break. Yeah. It's 9:34.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.